Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. Although Canada has taken a different route than the United States in increasing uptake of biosimilars, the country faces plenty of opposition to these agents. This is due in part to policies to automatically switch patients from reference products to biosimilars in some provinces. The first of these policies became effective in British Columbia in 2019. In addition to British Columbia, four other provinces are looking into developing their own switching policies. However, there is still much work to be done on educating physicians and patients on the safety and efficacy of biosimilars before more regulatory bodies feel comfortable enough to enact their own visions of these policies. We sat down with Dr. Carter Thorne, former president of the Canadian Rheumatology Association and chief of the Division of Rheumatology and director of the Arthritis Program at Southlake Regional Health Center in Newmarket, Ontario, to discuss the current status of Canada's comfort level with biosimilars and what he sees for the future of switching policies. So, Dr. Thorne, how satisfied are you that patients and doctors know enough about biosimilars in Canada, and what are you seeing in your work?
Well, yeah, our organization, the Rheumatology Association, both the Canadian and the Ontario, and Ontario is the largest province, 40% of the population. It does not have one of the more comprehensive pharmaceutical plans. BC and Quebec have more complete ones. The Ontario Rheumatology Association has been involved in looking at biosimilars, we used to call them SEBs in Canada, subsequent entry biologics, since 2011. I mean, before there was even a company entered the market, we had talks with Health Canada, presentations and engagement. So we have develop a relatively mature approach to biologics in general and biosimilars in particular. In Canada, there's one group that has been quite resistant to biosimilars, and that's the gastrointestinal group, GI group, inflammatory bowel disease. They have their own take on it. It is contrary to international GI groups, European, American, and other GI groups, but it's as it is, and I think it's perhaps reflecting a less robust engagement. Again, we have been involved in biosimilars since the beginning, since they were a twinkle in someone's eye, right? The science behind the safety inherent in the manufacture and development and dispensing of these things is pretty confident today. And certainly in my practice, I encourage patients to switch because of the obvious savings to the healthcare system and the ability for us to take advantage of innovation. So I do believe that our innovative medicines colleagues who develop from the get-go medications have an important role to play in trying to improve the system further. But however, penetration is very poor in Canada. The uptake of it is very poor. BC has led the way in terms of the provincial authority doing more, and they did it in a very collaborative way with the prescribers, in this case both rheumatologists as well as gastrointestinal dermatology and neurology. The province next door, Alberta, did a little less collaboratively, more by edict, and met with a lot of resistance. And the whole goodwill that BC had established with their caregivers was not experienced by my colleagues in Alberta. You know, it was just too bad that they didn't approach it the same way. I guess they figured because of the guys on the West Coast accepted it, that it would naturally slip across the Rockies and show up on the streets of Calgary and Edmonton. That didn't work.
Regarding the opposition to potential switching policies in Canada, what are your opinions on those, and are opponents to switching simply not informed enough about biosimilars?
Well, you know, it's very hard to understand the arguments they have, and they continue to refute arguments against their stand by other international bodies. It would be inappropriate for me as a rheumatologist to tell a GI guy that he's misreading his literature. I'd take exception if a cardiologist told me that I was misreading my literature, if you know what I mean. So I think they represent a relatively small component of the deal. I think what has been happening is that they are being given time to air their grievances and their concerns, but they aren't coming out really with any new information that supports their position. It's just bringing up the same old stuff. And every year that they talk about the studies that happened 2 or 3 years ago, we've gotten now an experience of 100,000 people. Oh, now we've got a couple million people. And like, we got this whole wash of stuff across Europe, for instance, in where pretty robust registries were mandated by governments. Different than it is in Canada and the U.S., and it's demonstrating that there is no remarkable nor unexpected findings related to making these switches. Every study's borne that out. So whether they're still talking about whether you should have some more randomized controlled trials, and that's probably not really germane right now. It's been done. Been there, done that. So I think that's for other people to discuss. The GI guys that are in my town, they have no trouble. But unfortunately, the spokespeople for the GI seem to be representing a small number of that group, but they have the voice.
Do you think as time goes on that more provinces will adopt mandatory switching policies?
Yep. It's going to happen. I mean, it should. I mean, it's been going on in most jurisdictions. When 15% of the therapeutic budget is going to 3% of the population, that's not sustainable. It doesn't seem like there's any new medication, no matter how small the molecule is, that doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, you saw that old antiviral drug, remdesivir, I think was used for AIDS. It's now costing $5,000 a vial. they're using it for treating COVID and as well as HIV. And I mean, that price just goes crazy. That's not sustainable, especially when you have a chronic disease. So I think mandatory is the wrong word, kind of, if you know what I mean. Mandatory smacks of someone telling you what to do. We try and have collaborative relationships. A lot of the companies think of regulators as just controlling access to the market, and kind of they are. They also think of it as slowing access to the market, and I think they're probably right there. I don't know if it's intentional, but it certainly is the impact of these regulatory bodies. However, in Canada, we are quite fortunate in having access to the majority of things that patients need with not as much oversight as our American colleagues who think that they are unburdened by federal regulatory stuff, whereas actually they're burdened by insurance regulatory stuff. We have a pretty good independence of practice, even though we're, quote, one paymaster. I think the regulatory system in Canada probably be streamlined a bit. But it's always one of these pendulum things, get a new thing, and then you consolidate, and then it goes the other way, and back and forth. And I think that's the social contract, and we're looking to ensure that we have a sustainable system. And part of that sustainable system is getting affordable meds.
Well, Dr. Thorne, thank you for your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes, and until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.